Good evening. A few weeks ago, as I was helping to get the kids to bed, I was in Emma's bedroom, and she was about to climb into bed and get tucked in. And as she was doing that, we had just done a Bible story shortly before that, but she just kind of out of nowhere said, "Why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet?" And when she said that, I thought, that's a really great question. There's a lot of things you could talk about there, especially with anyone, an adult, much less with a four-year-old, about that. Why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? And I thought that would be a great sermon topic. And I told the auditorium class that a few weeks ago when I told that story, that I've been antsy to make a sermon out of that. So tonight, hopefully, I won't disappoint Emma and disappoint you all, but that this sermon will be something that will be applicable to us as we study, why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? I would like to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to speak tonight. I'm very grateful for it. And if you have your Bibles, I would actually like to begin with the reading of the actual situation, the actual account, where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. It's found in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And I'll begin reading in verse 1. John 13, beginning in verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter.' Verse 8, Peter said to him, 'Never shall you wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you.' For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' Verse 12, so when he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and reclined at table again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example, that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." The account of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. This situation here happened prior to his arrest, as the apostles had gathered in an upper room to partake of the Passover. First, let's begin by talking about the actual act of washing feet, a custom of necessity, you could say. The first thing we should think about is transportation. What was the typical mode of transportation during biblical times, during the time of Christ? Walking. Many of them would walk from town to town or city to city. If they weren't walking, they might be riding a camel or a donkey, a colt. And they would travel from place to place, many times by foot. You also think about the footwear of the time. And in this picture you see sandals, maybe similar to something that they would have worn during the time of Christ. The footwear. The foot would have been open. The top of the foot, the side of the foot, exposed to the elements. You think about the terrain. that as they would travel from place to place, many times at great distances, a lot of times they had roads much like what we see here. They didn't have asphalt. They didn't have blacktop. They didn't have cement like we have today in many cases. A lot of the roads were dirt, dusty, filthy. We can imagine what the road would have been like if it had rained. The mud that would build up and then get all over your feet and all over your legs. Even the dining arrangement is something you could consider. During this time, supposedly during the time of Christ, the height of tables was even lower. That oftentimes they would recline at table. And we read about that some in Scripture and in the New Testament. Even here it says that Jesus went back to recline at table. Their feet would have been more exposed. People would have seen them more easily than probably what we're used to in our society and our culture. You also think about who typically would carry out this act of washing someone's feet. Who did that job? Well, it usually was left for the lowliest of servants. You think about it, it was a position that wasn't revered. It wasn't respected. If you wash someone's feet, you were the lowliest of the lowly servant. That's who carried out that job. Now, when you think about all these things right here, did Jesus wash their feet just because they were so filthy? Did he just happen to look over and just see all these disciples around him and say, you know, we forgot to wash our feet. We need to take care of that. Or, you know, our feet are just filthy. Look at all these disciples' feet. I'm going to take care of this. It wasn't to serve a physical need, was it? It wasn't. Jesus was trying to send a greater message and be a greater example to the apostles. He had a purpose in mind. So why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? We're going to talk about three things that I think answer that question. The first one is that he demonstrates humility. He washes their feet to demonstrate being humble. He also washes their feet to exemplify the servant attitude and service from the Lord to his disciples. And also, this ties in really well with what Andre preached this morning. He washes their feet to show love. He shows a great love for his disciples. Let's look first of all at humility. Why would the perfect, sinless Son of God wash the filthy, dirty feet of men? Well, he did it to be our perfect example of humility. Let's do a little activity real quick. How many CEOs mop floors? You think about bosses, CEOs, leaders of companies. How many of them do you ever see at the workplace or maybe at their business mopping the floors, cleaning up the messes, doing the work practically of a custodian when it's their business? When you watch a basketball game, you watch a football game, how many star athletes, the best player on the team, let's say, how many of them hand out towels to the other players when they come to the sideline? How many of them pass Gatorade or pass a drink or water down to the person who comes to the sideline? You think about world leaders. How many presidents clean the restrooms of the White House? What's the answer to most of these? It doesn't happen. And you might be able to say, well, here or there, something like this has happened. I've seen my boss, you know, clean up a mess here or there. And I've seen a CEO or heard of a CEO doing an act of service in some way or another. That's probably true. But more often than not, this doesn't happen. This doesn't happen. It goes against our logic. In the world's eyes, if they saw a CEO, or they saw a star athlete, or they saw a president doing a menial task like this that's so frowned upon, we would all look at them and say, what in the world are you doing? Why are you doing that? Don't you have servants who do those things? Don't you have custodians that do those things or other people who manage those things? You need to be doing these other things, right? And that's the kind of response, if you remember, that Peter gave when Jesus began washing his feet. Peter knew that the act of washing one's feet was something that was lowly. It was something for a very lowly servant. Peter said in verse 8, "Never shall you wash my feet." Why did Peter say that? "Never shall you wash my feet, Lord." It would have been puzzling to Peter to see this happen. It would have been puzzling to him to see his Lord, Jesus Christ, at his feet, cleaning them. Jesus deserved to have all the apostles washing his feet. And even then, the apostles weren't even worthy of washing the Lord's feet. No man's worthy of washing the Lord's feet. How dare Jesus Christ, the invisible, the image of the invisible God, the one who the Father had put all things into his hands, as we read in John 13, verse 3, wash the feet of men? It sounds absurd, doesn't it? It doesn't make logical sense. So why did Christ do it? To show humility. To show humility to his disciples. Verse 14, after he washes their feet, Christ says, "If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet." Christ is teaching them a lesson here, isn't he? If I wash your feet, you should be humble enough to wash someone else's. If Christ, the Lord and the teacher, is willing to humbly take the role of a lowly servant to wash the feet of men, then we also have to humble ourselves to wash the feet of others by serving them. You think about what that would encompass. The humility that he is asking of us. A humble servant of Christ will do what? A humble servant of Christ will wash the feet of others. And we can think about that very metaphorically. We'll wash the feet of others. We'll serve others. When we see a need of a brother or sister in Jesus Christ, we will meet it. We will do what's required. We will remove the prideful ego that is the norm and humble ourselves to serve others. When we humble ourselves like Christ wants us to, and if we follow his example of how he washed the disciples' feet, we will let go of the prideful ego that we see so often in society that has been common with man since the very beginning. A humble servant of Christ will not be too prideful to seek the lost. You think about, what were these apostles about to go do? They were about to go take the gospel out. Acts 2, the gospel is proclaimed and they are spread abroad, taking the gospel to men. Jesus knew that was coming. They needed humility to carry out that will. You think about also this morning in our adult Bible class, we talked about Colossians chapter 4. We talked about seeking the lost or looking to those who are outsiders, those outside of Christ. We have to make the most of our opportunities, don't we? Christ wants us to be humble, so we will see opportunities around us. And we will teach others that we will not think that we are better than anyone else. And also, a humble servant of Christ will not be too busy to help someone in need. We'll take the time, we'll make the time to teach someone else, to help someone else, whether it's a physical need or whether it's a spiritual need. We'll do what's required because it's what Christ did for us. And that's an example that he gives us here in washing the disciples' feet that I think made a profound impression upon them. We also think about Jesus Christ is an example of service, that he showed his servant attitude in washing the feet of these men. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 reads, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Even we like to be served, don't we? I don't know anyone who doesn't like to be served. We typically like to go to restaurants where we have good service. We like to stay at hotels that have outstanding service. Even in our own home, we like to be served to some extent. We like when our spouse unloads the dishwasher for us, right? Thank you, Courtney, for doing that this afternoon. It's the truth. We love those types of things. That's an act of service. And it makes us feel good when someone goes out of their way to do something like that. Whether it's something simple or something big, we like that. Of all people on this earth who have ever lived, who have ever been here, who had every right to say, "You're all going to serve me"? Jesus Christ. He had every right to come to this earth and say, "Wash my feet. Serve me." And he did ask us to serve him, true. But he didn't do it the way that you would have expected. How did Jesus Christ show that we are supposed to serve him? He became a servant himself. He became a servant himself. He did not come to this earth to be served. He came to be the servant. It goes against the tendencies of men. It goes against the norm of the world. That is what Christ did, is he showed himself as a servant by washing the feet of the disciples. We know very soon after this what's going to happen with Jesus Christ after he washes the disciples' feet. We know soon that he's going to be betrayed. We know that he's going to be tried unfairly. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. You think about that, and you realize he willfully gave his life as a servant. He didn't stop at just washing feet. He was going to take it even farther for these disciples and for you and me. He is going to lay down his life. The sinless and perfect Son of God served sinful and imperfect men to bring us salvation. It's an amazing thing. When you think about what was also happening during this time, if you look at the Gospel of Luke in chapter 22, beginning in verse 24, what was happening with the apostles and with the disciples? They were disputing with each other. They were disputing with each other. What was the argument? They wanted to know which of them was the greatest. Who's the greatest? They were having these disputes. And if you look at Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 24, it reads, "And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. And he, which is Christ, said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like a servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves.'" So as they're disputing, they're having this argument about who is the greatest of these apostles, trying to somewhat rank themselves and make themselves of more power. Christ has a profound answer to it. First of all, he says, you are not to be lording it over each other. But also he says, if you want to be a great leader, you know what you need to do? Be a servant. You want to be a great leader? Make yourself the least of everyone. That's how you can do it. And again, in that last verse, in Luke 22, verse 27 that we just read, Christ points to himself. Christ points to himself as being the example of being a perfect servant. So the question is very simple. Jesus washing the disciples' feet teaches a lesson of who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? The one who is the greatest is the one who serves. The one who is the greatest is the one who serves. And Jesus is our example of perfect and humble service. You also think about the love that he showed when he washed your feet. The love that Jesus Christ showed when he washed your feet. And the very first verse of chapter 13 points that out. It's the very first verse that we read tonight. "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Verse 1 teaches us that Jesus knew that his hour had come. Jesus knew that he would be departing soon from this world. And he knew that he was going to soon be crucified. But also John chapter 13 verse 1 tells us, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. Christ loved his own. Christ deeply loved his apostles. Christ deeply loved his disciples. Christ still loves all those who follow him. That love that Jesus had for the disciples is demonstrated in him washing their feet. You think about, what has man done to deserve this kind of love? Nothing. What did these disciples or these apostles do to deserve the love of Christ? Well, I mean, I guess you could say they left their homes and they forsook it. They forsook their way of lives in many cases and traveled to many foreign lands and such to spread the gospel. But you add that up to what Christ did and it doesn't add up. Christ loves the sinner who turns to him in repentance. He loves his disciples. You think about Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It's a passage that we hear oftentimes in sermons that reads, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ loved his disciples, didn't he? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, demonstrated love by making himself a lowly servant to wash the feet of men, and his love didn't stop at washing feet. He carried it all the way to his death on the cross. He carried it all the way into his resurrection. He carries it all the way into the future. Because he reigns on his throne and his love is still extended toward us. He shows great love for you and me. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 17, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Do you love others? Christ was making the point to the apostles, to his disciples. You need to love each other. Look at the love I'm showing you. You need to love others. Do you have a sincere care for other souls? He loved us so richly, and because of his love, we are to love others also. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 reads, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another. So you think about, why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Why did he do that? Well, he was demonstrating humility. He was demonstrating service, being a servant. And he was also showing great love to his disciples. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is our perfect example, isn't he? Of humility, of being a servant, and how to love others. John chapter 13 and verse 15 reads, for I gave you an example that you should do just as I did to you. That statement was made to the apostles after he washed their feet. But that statement is true to you and I. He's given us an example that we need to show humility toward others, that we need to be serving one another, and we need to be loving each other. You think about all of this in the context of Jesus Christ and what he's done, and it makes you think about cleansing. Cleansing from Jesus Christ, the cleansing that he provides. So you think about Jesus, the Son of God. And in this case, in this sermon, and in this text in John chapter 13, you think about the apostles. What did he do for the apostles? Well, the apostles were the recipients, weren't they? What did Jesus do? He became a lowly servant. He did a task that most men would not do in washing their feet. And their feet were washed. The dirt was removed from their feet. And a lesson was taught. There's a strong parallel here to you and I. What does Jesus Christ do for mankind? We're the recipient. What does Jesus Christ do for you and I? He became a lowly servant. Again, he became a lowly servant. He lived a life without sin. He put on flesh. He became man. And he came to this earth, and he did what? He gave his life for us and died on the cross and was resurrected. And through his blood, our sins are washed away. For the apostles, their feet were washed and physically they were cleansed. The dirt and the grime was removed. It was physical, but it was a wonderful example of how they had to act spiritually. You think about what Christ has done for each of us and for mankind. It's spiritual. He became a lowly servant, and his blood washes our sins away. Just as the water cleansed the dirt from the feet of the apostles, the blood of Christ cleanses the sin from each and every soul. When you think about this, you should think about, have I obeyed the gospel? Have I responded to the humility that Christ has shown me? When you think about that in the context of becoming a Christian, we should see if there is sin in our lives, if we have dust, if we have dirt and grime in our own souls. How much worse is that than the feet, our physical feet, and them being washed? If you are a Christian and you find that you have sin in your life, have you repented? Have you allowed Jesus to purify your soul? How did Jesus respond to Peter when Peter made the statement in verse 8, "Never shall you wash my feet"? This is what he said. He said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." If you're not a Christian, this rings true when it comes to baptism and obedience to him in baptism. Unless I wash you, unless your sins are washed away in baptism, and you are raised to walk in newness of life, and the old man is buried, you have no part with me. There's a strong parallel there. How will you respond? How will you respond? If you're a Christian tonight and you have sin in your life, repent of it. Come back to the Lord. Come to him with humility and with a servant attitude and with love, just as Christ demonstrated for us. And if you find tonight that you're not a Christian, respond. We don't know how long we have to respond. Take this opportunity and become a child of Christ. Put on the humility and the servant attitude and the love that he had and demonstrated for us, and have your sins washed away. If you're subject this evening to the Lord's invitation, please come forward as together we stand and sing.